Welcome to the Life is Relationships podcast, where we share biblical truths about marriage, parenting, and discipleship. The desire of CTCI is to see individuals and families restored in their relationship to the Father and for them to be empowered to have thriving, godly relationships that impact the communities around them. Hey, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Life is Relationships podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about dating in today's world, which what we see quite frequently is actually more of a hookup culture that's centered around immediate gratification and just about continual pursuit of your own desires rather than genuine, deep relationships. And this is a topic that is that was brought up by the one and only Seth Stradling here at CTCI. So he's here to talk about
AKA
that.
AKA Little Seth.
So we have Seth Stradling and Seth Williams here to talk about that today. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thanks, AJ.
Thanks, AJ.
So Seth Stradling, which moving forward, I'm just going to call you Stradling and Williams so that nobody gets confused.
Got it.
Seth and Seth. Guys, what we want to talk about in the world today in terms of dating, there's often this expectancy of immediate sexual intimacy that just leads to a chain of more and more sexual encounters rather than deep, genuine, committed relationship. And so what would you say is the difference between what God's standard is for relationships and what we're seeing in the world today?
I'd say one word. It's the most important word for understanding relationships, especially marital ones: covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God, and we are a covenant-keeping people because of that. And I think a lot of this that we see, the brokenness in that, is it hasn't been modeled. They don't know God, and they don't know the Word, but they haven't actually been, hasn't been modeled well for them either. God is a covenant-keeping God, and when I understand that, I embrace that. He is the covenant keeper in my marriage too. You know, till death do us part, all those things. I rely on His strength and that He keeps covenant, therefore I know He will help me keep covenant.
That's really good, Williams. And Stradling, what have been your observations on what it is that you're seeing happen, especially as you work with youth in culture today? What are you seeing that they're experiencing that is so different from what God has for them?
Well, I think my first thought is actually my last thought. I was just writing some notes. It says, having generational relationships, especially in the area of covenant, you don't want to just have these flings and dating and quick online relationships. You want a generational relationship that you'll be proud of and that you'll want over a long period of time, one that you can tell your children of. And there is redemption, obviously. There's no condemnation here, but there is a redemptive work that God wants to do in a relationship. And to quote Jordan Peterson, you shackle yourself to someone and you work out those issues. Now you want to make sure that
to the right
covenant,
to the right person.
You want to make sure they're a godly woman or a godly man. But yeah, it helps that generational relationship helps build a legacy to last.
And I would say on that too, real quickly, that if you've messed up in relationships, God is the God of new beginnings.
Yeah,
amen. His mercies are new this morning. And don't beat yourself up. Go to Him and ask Him to teach you how right relationship looks with Him, with others.
One thing that I want to touch on real quick that I heard you mention, Stradling, was that you were talking about dating and continual dating. And I think I just want to clarify for our listeners, if you're of a mature age and you're, you know, actively looking for your spouse, I think that there's this misconception around dating that it's like that it has to be this big serious thing. But to a degree, and maybe it's just my perspective, maybe you guys see it differently, but for somebody to go on dates to get to know people, I don't see a problem with that. And I think people oftentimes over—
Kiss dating goodbye.
I think people oftentimes over-spiritualize it where it's like, well, if I go on this date— I've literally had a friend tell me, they asked a girl out for coffee and they said, well, I'm in my husband-seeking season. And so, you know, thank you, but I won't be able to go have coffee with you. And it's like, do you understand how you meet a husband?
That's good.
I mean, that's—
I'm laughing because I've been there.
Right. Like,
we over-spiritualize it.
Right. Yeah. And it's like people need to have the freedom to feel like it's okay to go on dates with people.
That's right.
But then if you find somebody that you're like, hey, I really enjoy this person's company, I want to see what happens further, then stop going on dates with other people and be committed to this relationship to see if it's something that you want to take further. But back to the primary topic relating to hookup culture, it really, what we're looking at more is that people are in continual pursuit of sexual encounters to gratify themselves within their dating relationships. And so do you think technology and social media has played into this problem? And like, how have the expectations or standards been compromised through this?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a statement. There's an app for that. Yeah, I think some people think that, and young people included, teenagers, I mean, we've all been through something at some point, but you think certain things will gratify you and it doesn't. And sin is missing the mark before God, and God has these standards for us. And I'll just say, I mean, even for me personally, maybe it's a conflict of interest, but I'm in the dating process and now I'm in uncharted territory of being a fiancé. Don't even know how to spell that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. But the preparation, once it was the hookup culture almost, I was like, okay, because you have all these options, I guess, and different things. And when I studied my heart, you know, to get out of that culture, I decided to take internet off my phone. I decided to take social media off my phone. And I even went on like a sugar fast for a month because I was like, I need to get out of this culture of, I need to just be chatting with someone or talking with someone. And I run a guy's house, right? So for 14 years, I've been in ministry and I've been living with dudes. And, you know, when I was 20, when I was early 20s, a radical, I was like, don't text any girls in the man's house. Women aren't allowed down here, you know? And maybe I was a bit of a zealot Pharisee at the time. But I was trying to extract myself, you know, and in a way still trying to see, okay, God, what is you? And what are you calling me to as a man? And what is the culture telling us as men? Is the culture telling us we always need to be texting a girl, or is God saying, okay, how can you be careful with her heart and in her life? Because she has a father and she has brothers who care about her. So
yeah, I think what you're touching on there is real important, because you're, when you're talking about the need to be in continual contact and conversation with a woman, then oftentimes that's filling a hole, that's filling a place of emptiness that no woman would actually be able to fill anyways, because they're searching for purpose and reason and belonging in a place outside of the Lord.
Yeah.
And when you can step outside of that and walk in the full identity of who you were created to be and who you are in your relationship to the Lord, then it begins to alter your perspective of your relationships and those around you. And when you begin to look at relationships as an opportunity to honor those around you rather than what you can get to feel better, that's where some of those things can be continue to change.
Yeah, amen.
And continuing on that, because you took a pretty radical approach to purity. Potentially, Williams mentioned earlier the I Kiss Dating Goodbye.
Great book. Just don't do that.
Don't go.
Don't kiss a kid.
Don't read it.
Don't. Anyways.
Sorry.
But you took a pretty radical approach to embracing purity in your life. And so I kind of want to ask this question from the perspective of hearing from somebody that's newly engaged in the radical approach that you took to embrace purity in your relationships, and also from you, Williams, in how you have walked this out within your marriage of 18 years. But what is the importance of purity being lived out continuously and not just being a part of life before you get married in order to hold yourself for your spouse? What does embracing a life of purity look like even after you get married?
It's good.
Yeah. I think I had to make some radical changes to follow Jesus. And that's a story for another day. If you want to come to CTCI, men, we'll chat. Mountains of Franklin, North Carolina. We'll go on a hike. So yeah, I had to make those radical changes in pursuit. And I actually had a prayer. I said, basically, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And I almost wanted to be restored back to, you know, my days in missions when I was 21. I'm like, Lord. And yeah, he put me through a grinder or a planer. And I'm completely thankful for that. But I definitely resolved in my heart. I had resolve to make that covenant with my eyes that Job said. And it helped launch me in the next season and answered prayers. And Miriam's an answer to prayer that I had years ago. So it's really make those big prayers and God will bring you through.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, as far as the temptations won't stop, you know, you have to be vigilant with all the things that pop up on your laptop and screens. You've got to be all the more just taking those thoughts captive and the images. You need to be vigilant. Anyway, just so that you don't just think because I'm now married and I've stayed pure there, and that's it, I'm in. You know, you see many relationships fall apart from we put our guard down thinking that now I've overcome that. Now I don't have to, it doesn't have to be on my radar. I don't have to be so vigilant. That's not true. All the more in a relationship, divert your eyes. I train my kids just to, when something comes on, you know, I don't blame them for them. They can't control some stuff that they're going to see in their lives, but as often as you can, divert your eyes. Jesus talked about plucking the eye out. I think that how we do that is we don't pluck our eyes out. I think we turn our eyes quickly and practically speaking, turn them, move your eyes and don't let any foothold, you know, don't let anything get to your heart. And if it does happen, give it to the Lord. Don't beat yourself up. Give it to him quickly, deal quickly, go to him. God, give me, you know, purity. Forgive me for what I just looked at and make it right.
I love what you guys are talking about here. Just to drive the point home that you were making, Williams, about how once you get married, temptation doesn't leave. The opportunities for sexual impurity don't leave.
That's right.
Just because you have access to a consistent sexual relationship does not mean that those temptations are gone. And that means that it's all the more to be on guard because you have somebody else's heart that you are having to tend and care to. Yeah. And it's your responsibility as a man to do that.
That's right. Well said.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on today's podcast. We really appreciate your time. And I hope that this is an encouragement to people listening out there.
Thanks, AJ.
Thank you, AJ.
Thanks, Lil Seth.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And we would love if you left us a review. For more information about CTCI and our upcoming programs, be sure to check out ctcilife.org. This podcast is a production of Christian Training Center International, and it is produced by AJ Selby and Seth Stradling.